Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome to another edition of .com and the Den Mondays. I am Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, Richard Irvin from Wolf Den after a magnificent weekend of racing, but more importantly, a magnificent day for the Den. Rich, you landed one of the great multis. It's made headlines worldwide, and I say that because the internet is available worldwide.
My only contribution was on Friday night. We were walking up to the Imperial Hotel up near the MCG to get some dinner and watch the footy. And I remember Uncle Mel and King said, oh, we've got a multi to play tomorrow. And in my mind, I was pessimistic and I was like, yeah, whatever. And then they said, oh, it's based on like horses to go the lead. And I thought, yeah, whatever, let them, you know, tear up 2,000 anyway. 48 hours later, here we are, 220,000 jumped in because of it. And my pessimism was not needed, but well done to Kings. It was a great find by him. And no doubt you'll unpack it with him a little bit later on.
Yeah, those who played the pot would be very, very happy, as would the Victorian Breeders Alliance. And the win of Schwartz is going to kickstart our straight six.
The straight six.
All right, you didn't have to go too far to find the pundits who felt the race was going to set up nicely for Schwartz, and Kingsley was very bullish, as was Tom Hackett. As the day panned out and patterns emerged, he was clearly the one to beat, and he got it done. And it doesn't always happen like that, Rich. It was a fitting reward for the Victorian Breeders Alliance, who invested a lot of money in high-priced, well-bred yearlings and now have a first-time Group 1 winner who will stand at stud at Rosemont.
Yeah, huge result for them. It probably seemed a little improbable after the CF4 when he was very disappointing over 1,400 metres. But, they put a circle around the William Reid. Everything came together perfectly for Schwartz. It was a very leader-biased track on the day. He firmed a lot. Like, we took $9.50 for the pot. I think he started around $6. Great ride by Mott, just timed it well, and it was sort of over after a few hundred metres. Out of the race, I thought She's Bulletproof. Talking about riding tactics, I don't really know why Willow wanted to eyeball Schwartz. I understand that, you know, if he hadn't eyeballed, then maybe Schwartz gets even further out in front. It doesn't run him down.
He didn't handle the track either, I don't reckon.
Willow said that. I don't know. My overall thing is I feel maybe She's Bulletproof's tired and needs a break. She's been up a long time. Be interesting to see what happens with her now, because you've got something like the Sangster where she'd be right in the thick of it, but that's a while away. She could have a freshen up, but she just raced like a tight horse to me. I did hear Willow say that she didn't handle the track at all. And Jimmy, I don't know why they ever really wanted to put Jimmy in the William Reid. It never seemed like a great setup for him, and that kind of is the way that it played out on Saturday. Everyone thought he went terrific. Obviously, he came on really strong. I believe his next race will be the All Age up in Randwick, is about 3 or 4 weeks away. Perfect setup for him. I can see him running a barnstorming race in that one.
Yeah, you'd think that'll set up nicely for him. The TJ Smith is, of course, the other sprint race that some are looking toward. Now, Schwartz won't go to the TJ Smith. The winner here, Private Harry, will. He was absolutely fantastic. You mentioned Fizzer in the Den last week. He said he'd been keen on him in the Galaxy for some time. He was my best of the day on Moody on the mic. Gee, he was impressive. Worked perfectly for him. He's unbeaten from 5 starts. He's beaten the older horses here. You know, what's his ceiling? The TJ is going to give us a good guide, but the spring ranks are seemingly wide open for a star to emerge, and Private Harry could be that star.
He absolutely could. He's only a 3-year-old as well. So huge future them. Obviously a lot of breeding potential, a lot of value. I think the owners are mostly, you know, knockabouts. So yeah, it could be life-changing money for them.
Yeah.
But he goes on the TJ. I mean, he's a 3-year-old. He could go into the Arrowfield, which is a Group 2 1,200-meter race, which Autumn Glow is going to head towards, I think. But I can understand, you know, it makes sense to go towards the TJ. But I think it's all roads lead towards the Everest. And at the moment, he's the best chance Australia has of knocking off Ka Ying Rising.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting Everest, and we're already talking about it right here in March. Now, in terms of breeding prospects, I've got some breaking news. Now, back to Schwartz and, of course, winning the William Reid. Now, his next start, I've spoken to Anthony Mithen this morning. It's either going to be a freshen and then the Dooman 10,000. Now, John O'Shea said the BTC Sprint or BRC Sprint on radio this morning, well, that's a Group 3. You're not going to go there. But Mitho says the Dooman 10,000 after a freshen, or it's going to be off to stud. If he sort of tells him he needs a longer rest, because he is going to go stand at Rosemont this year. You can stand a stallion off the back of a Group 1 win. The William Reid, wasn't overly strong Group 1, and it did set up for him on the day. But I'll read you the text I got from Mitho, because he does spell it out quite nicely. he said that he's won a Group 1, two Group 2s and Group 3 in a listed race, the most stakes-winning colt by a Zoo Star in history. Now, no one remembers how you got your 100th run. They just remember that you got 100. So his future is there. And I mean, I did argue with Mytho on that, that I remember that Matthew Hayden's 380 did come against Zimbabwe on a flat whacker wicket when he passed Mark Taylor and Don Bradman's 334. And Taylor's came in that scorching heat over 2 days in Royal Pindi. So I certainly hold Taylor's innings in a higher regard than what Hayden's is. But, yes, he's right. They've put a lot of money into the industry, and Schwartz will be a stallion this year. And I'm sure he's a service price, and people will be looking to breed from him. As to what, you know, the race results only get you so far as a stallion. Once you've
absolutely
got yearlings on the ground, then it's about their race results and how many winners to runners you get as a stallion. Because, you know, we've seen it with Seamus Ward down at Rosemont. You know, he was a Cox Plate winner, stood for not much, and all of a sudden he has a stack of Group 1 winners in a short space of time, and his service price goes from about 12,000 to, I think it was like 30 or even 80,000 by the end of it.
Yeah, no, great result for them. I'm really happy for them, and I think the Doom in 10,000 is probably about the only race that I would consider running Schwartz in. I'm just thinking, would he run up against something like Giga Kick or something like that? Never easy to win those big Group 1 races, but yeah, that would make sense. So see where it all ends up.
Chanois, probably off to a Group 1 race. You'd think he'd go to the ATC Derby after his victory in the Alistair Clark Stakes. He looks like a nice staying prospect, but I think we're going to find out a bit more about him if he does go to the Derby. Because, look, he was a dominant favourite here in the Clark, and he showed why. He was a dominant winner, but I don't know what he beat.
Yeah.
Well, I do. I don't think he beat much.
Yeah, the Derby doesn't look like it's the hottest Derby we've seen. And then I believe he's going to go straight to Hong Kong. He's already been sold to Hong Kong. And we had the Hong Kong Derby last night. It's for four-year-olds over in Hong Kong. So he'll go to the Australian Derby, then go over and be prepared for a tilt at the Hong Kong Derby. Not sure who's going to train him over there yet. But we backed him in our pot, and it was a competent win. And I think we're going to look at probably the stronger three-year-old staying form, and that is the Rosehill Guineas, Rog.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'd think Gold Rush Guru would be better suited there. He'll go there. Broadside, he was a nice winner here in the Rosehill Guineas. He got... almost got run down by Aliana, who was the flashing light run here. You'd think she will probably go to the Oaks and maybe a clash with Treasure of the Moment, which will be fantastic. But look, Broadsiding was caught wide early, which we only see the end of the races here. But caught wide early, went forward, then came back. It was a bit of a messy start for J-Mac to find the right spot. I think that actually adds credence to his performance. I'm not sure I'd be pushing out further in trip. I think... if he doesn't get too badly handicapped in the Doncaster, maybe
he's badly handicapped. He's got to give linebacker 6 kilos. So the Doncaster, okay,
well, you can't. Well, so there's no great race for him to go to now, because I don't know whether you want to push him out and trip. And
I think there's only one option for him. It's the Queen Elizabeth Stakes.
Take on Bear Sustainer.
But they James Cummings said they don't want to go to the Derby. I would probably go to the Derby with him. Doncaster, you can't give linebacker 6 kilos after he beat you fair and square last time over that 1600 meter distance at the track. I think it's Queen Elizabeth, or I mean, there's even a little bit of talk about going overseas. Two Down Hearts, a UK sire. So interesting to see. But look, that was his fourth Group 1 win. He's a great horse. Yeah. Aliana was obviously terrific, probably should have won.
She didn't have a great deal of luck in transit either. And as you like, Treasure of the Moment's going to go to the Vinery, a dominant favourite, I think $1.50 at the moment in that Vinery. But so Aliana's not going to go there. You think she may go to the Derby and take on the boys if they determine that to be a weaker race, because I think the Kiwi Derby winner is going to come over and race in that. That's
Will
he do it? But then if Treasure of the Moment comes out and just brains him in the Vinery, she goes to the Oaks. But oh, geez, I'd love to see those two go head to head with an Oaks, because an Oaks is often a, you know, bit of a who cares, but wouldn't that make for a cracking race?
Yeah, no, that'd be exciting. Should we move to the slipper?
We should. Mahooning. Mahuna, of course, won the slipper. Mood sent on Outpods Cars. He had 16 chances going in the slipper. I'm not sure after the running you could pot too many. Excuses everywhere in a typically messy golden slipper. Mahuna, great, obviously. Woderton, terrific. I probably want to be on him in the size, although it doesn't look like he's going there.
No, he's definitely going to the paddock.
Yeah, right. Do you know,
Jase Mahuna, I think, probably going to go to the paddock too.
Yeah, no, she is going to the paddock. Yeah. That's been confirmed this morning. So okay. I think Rivellino is the one who'll probably push on, and he was very impressive here without a great deal of luck in the slipper too. So he's probably going to be the one you want to be on the sides. Just before we get to the actual unpacking of the race, Woderton's a name that is very hard to pronounce. We've been saying Woderton. I've been saying Woderton. I think J-Mac said Woten.
I think it's Wadton. You're supposed to say Wadton as in like Wanton.
Damien Lane Damien Lane called him Wanton.
That'll do. Let's call him Wanton.
Oh, that was great. Anyway, go on. Unpack the race for us, Rich.
Sure, mate. So first time a horse has won the slipper after only its third start since Toy Show in 1950. So that was a long time. So it's been a pretty incredible rise. Like Mahuna was not going to get into the race until late last week.
Normally get in with $80,000 of prize money.
Yeah, her first race was at Canterbury, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. Great ride by Damien Lane, the best ride in the race, and that's why Mahuna won. And I like the way that when Woten came at her with sort of, 75 metres to go, she really kicked in again. That's a sign of a really elite horse. So she's obviously got a huge future. As you said, she's going to the paddock. Woten, he's been an interesting horse, hasn't he? That was the run that he needed, just off the pace and then let loose, and he showed a strong sprint. Unlucky not to come over the top. Yeah, he was a little bit unlucky too. He never got a little bit of momentum taken away from him when he first started his sprint. Interestingly, do you think he will be a Coolmore Stud Stakes horse in the spring or a Caulfield Guineas horse?
I think you'd probably stretch him out because I reckon he looked like a horse who wants more than 1,200.
Mm. That's breeding or play a part though. I know they're very focused on winning Coolmore Stud Stakes because they think that's what is the most commercial aspect, trying to sell a stallion. So, and obviously they Coolmore own it. What else did I think?
You've got Golden Rose though. You could go.
Absolutely. I mean, they'll even talk about Everest with him and stuff, like they'll, but I don't know, just everything, it just doesn't feel like, I feel like they try and, typecast these horses into distances that don't totally suit. And I don't know, to me it feels like more, as you say, like a Golden Rose Caulfield Guineas horse. Yeah. So we'll see. Rog, I just wanted to quickly, I thought in the Valley Pearl, Prestige Forever, This is Mini Valley Race 2.
Speaking of 2-year-olds.
Yeah, I thought that while we're talking about 2-year-olds, we should just take note of this win. So there's Chergai running in a second. He was favourite, but Chergai had pretty strong form in the Vobis showdown behind McGaw, but Prestige Forever was just way too good. I thought we should just take note of him. It's only his second start. And I think he's got a better race. And it'd be interesting too if they even try to come up to Sydney for one of the better 2-year-old races up here, the Kindergarten Stakes, the Percy Sykes, something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and he finished second to Shining Smile last start. Shining Smile, we've mentioned on this show, probably the best of that next crop of 2-year-olds. Called him the Dalton line. Basing it on what something Trav Noonan said, Chergai looks a decent horse around form around McGaw, who we think has got a big future, certainly as a 3-year-old. But as pointed out by, I think it was Mick Sharkey, who's always across that breeding and Hong Kong interest because he'd sell a horse to Hong Kong in a heartbeat. The owners of Prestige Forever are from Hong Kong, I believe, and so we may see
head over there or
get sold over there pretty quickly. So anyway, let's move on to the George Ryder because this was a great race, and the winner's probably not the best run in the race, but Gringotts, Cheerwolf, Fangirl all go to the line together. Fangirl, obviously in the pink, flashing down the outside. Gringotts in the lead, Cheerwolf coming up the center. I was on Cheerwolf, so I was a little bit dirty. But Gringotts this time last year won the Tamworth Cup.
Yeah, incredible rise. He was so consistent over the Christmas period, winning some of those big money races. First three across line are all fantastic. The dilemma with Chow Wolf is he's going to get 57.5 kilograms in the Doncaster, which is a lot. He could possibly run in the Neville Selwood this week over 2,000 metres before going on to the Queen Elizabeth. Joe Pride said he's definitely going to the Queen Elizabeth.
Well, that would make sense as the path then, to go 2,000 and then onto the Queen Elizabeth. But
yeah, I wouldn't be going.
You know, just before we move, or you go on to talk about the other two, do you know what Chow Wolf reminds me of that? The footy team who made the preliminary final the year before and fell short, but it was a good young team and you thought, oh, they're just going to, roll through to a premiership the next year. And then they cop a few injuries and things don't go quite like when he had that missed that run and then, obviously was never probably going to beat win first up anyway, and sort of had 1500 back to 1200, I think it was, and then or it,
1300.
It just it feels like it's been a little bit of an awkward preparation, and maybe he's sort of missed his chance, although he's been so close. Like, there's been nothing wrong, but it just feels like a preparation of lost opportunities. So I hope he can still come out and win one of these big group ones, but I certainly wouldn't be getting off him. I still think come the spring, he's going to be one of the headline acts, but he does just, it just feels like a horse who's just missed a trick this prep.
He'd be short no fault of his own if he ran this week. And that, you know, I think Joe Pride needs to get one more run into him before the Queen Elizabeth. And look, he's on his day, he can run a really big peak rating. So you could see him at Randwick over 2,000 metres, probably be a smallish field because Via Sestina will be there, and he'll get his chance to come home hard over the top. Tom Kitten was a great Doncaster trial, coming home strong. Let's put the market up for the Doncaster because it is as hot as Doncasters get. Gringotts goes to the top there.
That was Gringotts' tick over run to go into the Doncaster. So he's done well there. And you know, he was the only runner in the field who hadn't won a group one before that, and he was the one who came away with the group one after.
Yeah, right. Militarise is disappointing. You've got to wonder whether Militarise will get retired.
Well,
I
can't geld him. No. What are you going to retire him to stud? You want to just keep racing?
No, right. No, but why would they? Like, he's, you know, multiple group one winner. They'd just be like, if he's not enjoying racing, not racing, well, we just retire him. I can't imagine they'd go and sell him on English Digital. Like, you know, they might get between 100 and 200 grand for him on English Digital.
Well, all you can do is race him now. Like, I mean,
he's been disappointing both starts. The jockey on, I think it was, who was on it? Maybe Zach Lloyd said that he just, disappointing run, didn't show much. Anyway, just be interested to see what they do with Militarise. If he runs again and fails again, you'd probably have to think they'll just retire and say, okay, let's just, you know, let him go and enjoy his life in a paddock.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Any of you want to be on there?
Not really. No, but I mean, that market will change a lot. I mean, another will maybe interest me at $8. Linebacker should be, it should be $10 the field. If it was $10 a field, then I'd start to get interested.
Via Sestina did what Via Sestina does. She's won 6 group ones this season, 7 since she arrived in Australia. This was, of course, she won this race last year.
That's when she first arrived here.
That was her first, and then she went out second start as a dominant favourite in the Queen Elizabeth. She did what she needed to do. That's how I saw this run. She is definitely building toward the grand final. She is trained by the best grand final trainer. Interesting, though, one more group one, and she equals Winx's record for most group ones in a season set in 2018-2019, which I think is 7. So if she goes on, so she'll go Tancred Queen Elizabeth. Is that right? Or she goes
straight? No, she's just straight
to the Queen Elizabeth. So she'll go Queen Elizabeth. So that, and then it'll be Paddock. So she's not going to beat Winx's record if she does win them both. But I was a little bit worried when we saw that American horse Full Count Felicia. Apparently she can fly out in front, and I thought, oh geez, we might have another 2024 Queen Elizabeth on our hands here when Jenny set it all right. But it didn't sort of work out that way. And as I said, Via did what she needed to do.
Yeah, well, let's not forget that Jenny most likely will be coming up for the big rematch in the Queen Elizabeth. I like the run of Faulkner Park in this race. I think that he's slowly finding his way back to the form that put him on the map when he was really dominant up in Queensland. So I'm wondering if he will go into the Tancred next week. I'd say they probably will, because I don't know what other options they have for him. The Tancred is 2,400 metres, which is perfect for him. Why don't we bring the market up for the Tancred? So you've got some very good horses up the top there, Dubai Honor and Vauban.
Yeah, and Vauban off that last start win. That's the one I'm watching at the moment, because it comes out and does well in Tancred. I think you might, given what the field's going to look like in the Queen Elizabeth, I'm not saying I don't want to be on Vauban there.
Yeah. You know, it's a strong race. Once again, I'd like to you know, wait and see how the race pans out. But Faulkner Park, if the field stayed the way it was, I think you'd probably get, you know, $8-$9 about Faulkner Park, and I think that would be a great bet, because he really does look like he's finding form, and on his day, he's a very, very good horse.
Hey, I'll tell you who else is a really good horse, and that is Autumn Glow. She returned in race 4 and did it with a bang. There was a point I didn't think she was going to get there, but her class shone through. She's a winner, and after that extended absence, to step back in and do this was quite impressive. I don't think she's ever been really tested. I'm looking to see how she handles it when she really steps up and takes on those genuine superstars, because let's not forget, Chris Waller said last spring that she was the best 3-year-old he had, if not, and not just then, like up there with the absolute best of the best.
Well, now he probably thinks that about Lady Shenandoah.
So, correct.
But that's why I put the headline up as next filly up, because, you know, they say, what's that, you know, next man up. That's the talk in AFL and NRL worlds. Well, that's what Waller does. He's just, you know, put the next dominant filly up. Yeah, she was great. She ran really, really good time. They're thinking now more that this preparation, she might stay a sprinter. So the next target, Waller said, will be the Arrowfield Sprint. It's a 1,200-metre race only for three-year-olds. Let's bring the market up. It's only a Group 2 race, but I can see what they're doing here. It's always, you know, draws a high-quality field. And I think that what they're trying to do is make this a Group 1, bit of a competitor to the Coolmore Stud Stakes over the spring down at Fremantle.
So this would be a test. If that is the field that goes there, and I mean...
Well, the main reason Private Harry's $4.50 is because he's very unlikely he's
probably, yeah, and we're not sure about Switzerland.
Switzerland's almost certainly going to TJ Smith.
Yeah, so Lady of Camelot is a good horse, good honest horse, but she's not a winner. She hasn't won since that Golden Slipper.
I'd much rather take $11 Lady of Camelot over 1,200
metres. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Than even Autumn Glow.
I don't know why
Lady of Camelot's so long. Maybe, yeah, I know. I think they've talked about her going towards the Queen of the Turf, which is 1,500 metres. Mm. But
why would you be pulling her back in trip then?
She won the Golden Slipper, but yeah. I guess these the Queen of the Turf's a Group 1.
Futures markets are fast, mate. They're fast.
No futures in futures.
Exactly.
Autumn Glow goes in this. I mean, it'd be incredible if she could win this race over 1,200 metres because, you know, she's the kind of horse you think could win a Cox Plate.
That was the other thing when Waller said that she's one of the best. Like, her best was going to come out beyond a mile. So maybe they're waiting to her four-year-old season to really get her out in trip, see what happens there.
And there's Clean Energy. Clean Energy, of course, was the last leg in our multi.
Yes.
I'd be interested in taking $13 Clean Energy in the Arrowfield Sprint. That seems like not a bad price.
Clean Energy was the second leg in one of my multis, and the third was in the last, or the 10th in Rose Hill, and that did not get up. So on that note, let's move on to Stuart's Speed Round.
Stewards Room Speed Round.
All right, going to make it a really speedy speed round. Race one, Kyoki Cardiac Arrhythmia. This is the belly, needs a vet clearance, as does Me Rock Alley. Lame vet clearance. Race three, Top Caliber, very disappointed. There's a big spruik and it came back with a throat condition, needs a vet clearance. Race four, Windstorm, hoof abscess, vet clearance needed. Race six, Emphasize, bled both nostrils, so a 3-month suspension for Emphasize as is mandatory, and we'll need a vet clearance to run again. Let's go to Rose Hill in race six. Martin Harley on Save of the Dream got a careless riding reprimand for shifting in. Ashley Morgan on Private Harry, he got a reprimand for making celebratory gestures passing the winning post, which is complete crap. I think when you win a race of that magnitude and the story behind it, that is just party poopers getting a reprimand for that. Although, in fairness, a reprimand rather than suspension or a big fine. Mickey Dean, race 10 on Miss Hellfire, got a careless riding reprimand shifting in. Tommy Stockdale was the only suspension. He got a careless riding one. Military Tycoon, race 8. So he's suspended from the 27th until the 4th of April. And, of course, within the law, we saw within the law and the Golden Slipper crash through the running rail during the race and dislodged the rider. So that was a concerning incident. And our anchorage in race 3 was diagnosed with a cardiac arrhythmia. And that is a speedy-ish round, given we took in two venues.
Cook the book.
Oh, it's a cook the book of different sorts now, because boy, did the Wolf Den cook the book on Saturday. Kingsley Bartholomew and, of course, Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes joins us. And Kings, we'll start with you. The multi that's been well-publicised across various social media channels. How bullish were you going in? Because I know you were particularly bullish about Swartz, but a multi at 110-1, and all of a sudden the pot returns about 220K.
Yeah, how good are you? Yeah, $50 returned to, over $260. So that was just fantastic for everyone who put the $50 in. Yeah, the multi, 110-1. What amazing. We had a bit of luck with Stay Focused, just getting the bob there and then got the last two home as well. But there was a little bit of science behind it. A good mate of mine rang me on Friday, Adam Sparrow, and a genius track watcher friend of his, Peter Kennedy, who he speaks to prior to the weekend. And Peter said lanes one was a distinct advantage from lanes two. Nothing could make ground out wide. So I matched that up with my own form. I was keen on Schwartz. I was very keen on the third leg there, Clean Energy. And obviously Stay Focused was going to roll forward as well. So putting those three leaders together, 110. The other point I want to make with that, Is if you had to back those horses SP, the reason why I put them together there is I thought if one leader wins, it's going to be leaderish. The other two are going to come in as well. So if you had to put them on at SP, it would have returned 80,000 for the 2,000. Whereas we put that on early with Ladbrokes and returned 220,000 for the 2,000. So odds are very important. And the other thing that's very important is giving yourself a chance to win a fair bit of money. If you don't give yourself the chance to win a fair bit of money with a strategy behind it, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, punting as a pack sure paid off on Saturday, Kings. Tom's that multi-collect for the Den boys would have put it a decent dent in the Ladbrokes book, no doubt. And given the push around Schwartz, was that race in particular a big hole for you guys?
It was a big hold race. Obviously, the multi did do some serious damage, but Schwartz, whilst being a losing result, was only a reasonably small loser, around about that $80,000 mark. There was a lot of money for Jimmy Starr, and we were top of market, Jimmy Starr as well. Our trading team were quite keen to take on Jimmy Starr. So our liability for Jimmy Starr was almost $500,000. But I have to pay credit to Kingsley. This is how good he's going. I was in the Den the day after Schwartz flopped in the CFR. And King said on that Sunday, the race for Schwartz is the William Reid Stakes. And I don't even think, and we know the connections of Schwartz well, Rog, with Mitho on Moody on the mic. Even the connections of Schwartz hadn't worked out that the William Reid was his race at that stage. So King's got about a month head start on that one. Well played.
You kind of answered my next question, Tom, in your answer there. That there was a track bias at the Valley, and that would usually mean the sharp punters can get a hold of the bookies. But does that even out with the casuals? Because you're saying Jimmy Starr was your worst result. Well, he's a backmarker, and I would have thought you didn't want to be on Jimmy Starr with borrowed money, given that how the track was playing.
Yeah, I do think a lot of that Jimmy Starr money was definitely casual money. I think you're probably right, Roger. I think the probably education around track bias has gotten better. I think punters do know any time at the Valley, for the most part, you want to be on horses that are on the speed. But whilst punters definitely did work that out with Clean Energy, the market got it spot on. Obviously, it was the final leg of the Wolf Dean multi, so it was always going to be a bad result. But even just the regulation book was a losing result of over $500,000. So it's a horse that the market's got very right. And then the track pattern definitely played a part there. So I think it was a perfect storm where the multi gets up, all the smarts were on Clean Energy, all the recreational money was on Clean Energy, and that evens up to be a very bad result for the book.
Kings, you said you were made aware of that sort of bias on the Friday, but when you identify a bias early on a race day, does that encourage you to bet more and look ahead and really, you know, home in on certain players late in the day?
Yeah, for a starter, the predicted bias before anything's I've seen any races at all is factored into the model. And maybe Valley traditionally, especially in those sprint races, is traditionally sort of on pace. So that's factored in. But on the day, if it's particularly leaderish and inside as well, like I think there was money. Jimmy Starr was very well backed. And I think one of the reasons why it was so solid in betting was that he had drawn barrier two. So a lot of people might have thought you can sort of sit, fourth or sixth fence and still get that dream run through. But as far as bias goes, I use it to adjust my staking. So I actually had Jimmy Starr a bet in that race, and I halved my bet on Jimmy Starr and doubled my bet on Schwartz. I also use it to anything on AI, for example, that's a consider backing. If it's going to be on pace and suited by the bias, so I will include those bets. So I don't completely change my form. I sort of just massage it around that bias.
Tommy, let's head to Sydney now. We saw Via Sestina go around and win at very short odds. Was she backed at that price straight out, or was it more played in multis?
Oh, she was backed, Rog, but it's not when they're that short, it's never a particularly bad result for the book. But when it does become a bad result, it is in the multis. And you had a few short price favourites there. There was a lot of bets, Autumn Glow into Via Sestina, into Broadsiding in the Rosehill Guinea. So it seems that the theme of the Autumn Carnival thus far is that these all-ups, these multis of the favourites in Sydney in particular are getting home, and we could see more of that during the championships as well, where we are going to have these horses like Via Sestina, who is going to start a pretty clear favourite in the Queen Elizabeth.
Well, if they'd listened to me on media on the mic, Tom, it would have been Autumn Glow, Via Sestina, Private Harry and saluting. Kings, did you play in the Golden Slipper, and did you watch that race and think there's a lot of horses that you would want to follow next start? Because I know Tom had said to me on a private text, like, geez, you could forgive about 16 runs in that race.
Yeah, that's right. The did I play? Very small, didn't get too involved at all. I thought that they were very even. And even after the race, I still think they're a very even bunch of two-year-olds coming out of that. The first three across the line all sort of were had the dream runs back towards the inside. So there's a clear bias, lanes one and two at Rose Hill as well. I'd be following horses out of that race like Devil Knight, Tycoon Star, Wester Swindon as well. All these horses are out wide, Skyhook, Baywatch. You'll get double figure odds about a lot of these horses next start. And I think they are more the horses to follow than the horses that were 1, 2, 3 across the line. But what about Fangirl? What wasn't she a run as well? She was my run of the day at Rose Hill. She'd never been going better.
Yeah, I think she's a lot of people's run of the day. And I'm also glad you have jumped on the Baywatch bandwagon, even though it is technically Bivacht. Hey, Tom, how was the slipper bet? $5 the field. I'd imagine it was a very interesting betting race from a book perspective.
Yeah, it was, Rog. There was money for a number of different horses. There was three that the punters really did seem to form around, though. Rivellino was well supported. It was $11 into $7.50 on the day. It was our worst result in the race. It was a losing result of over $600,000. There was support for Woderton. It was a losing result of over $250,000. And Within the Law, who was probably a bit stiff, one of the several horses that was a bit stiff was a $500,000 loser. So Mahuna in the end ended up being a winning result of just under $200,000. But I think you could run that slipper 16 times and you could get 16 different winners. I think this is, there's no standout that does sort of make for interesting betting. Because I think a lot of these will fancy their chances heading forward. So hopefully we do see some big fields and the size and the champagne this year. Because I think if you've got a two-year-old going all right, you'd sort of fancy your chances because there's no horse that's really scaring you away going forward.
You're right in terms of Within the Law, though, Tommy. I mean, Jason Collett was on Mahuna, so he ended up off Mahuna and on Within the Law, and then ultimately he was off Within the Law as well. Overall, how did the Sydney book end up?
It was another tough result for the book. Obviously, that run of broadsiding via Sistina and Autumn Glow was tough, and then late in the day, punters were keen to get into Private Harry. I think, obviously, we were keen to take Private Harry on. I think there's always a lot of hype around these horses that are unbeaten and they've sort of got the could-be-anything tag. And then there's also the feel-good story with Nathan Doyle and Ash Morgan. So you combine that together and that accounts for a losing result of over $500,000. So in the punters, they've definitely had the upper hand so far this Autumn Carnival, and it certainly continued on the weekend. No small part played by our co-host there.
Yes, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Kings, everyone's going to be expecting a nice fat multi off you again this weekend now.
Yeah, well, let's do it again. Why not? Look forward.
Sneak peek.
Oh, I'm already frothing about this Saturday, Rich, because the Australian Cup is just shaping up as a crack. I mean, the Australian Cup really lifted a notch last year, but with Pride of Jenny's winning return last weekend, and she goes here now, this is a cracker. So she's a $3 favourite ahead of Middle Earth, of course, won its first Australian start.
Atisha's confirmed. Atisha always goes at Flemington deep into a prep, and that's exactly the setup there.
Light infantry man. Didn't one of the Noonan say to back light infantry man the other week at $26? Now sevens along with Zardozzi. Yeah. Deny Knowledge, of course, a Group 1 winner, $12.
What's going to happen with Deny Knowledge? Is it going to pester Jenny out in front?
Oh, I think so, but can it go as hard? So yeah, it's gonna that's the X factor, and that could create an opening for one of the other horses. Attrition, if we get a dry track, I've said this before, I quite like it. Lindemann, $15 for Roshi, the Australian Guineas win at 17, plenty of ammo, 34. But it is going to be a cracking race. I hope the Sunlight Classic's also on. This is for the 3-year old.
Mm-hmm. Estrella won this sprinters. Race last year.
Yeah, geez, she's been pretty disappointing since. So we've got Daggers, Vestas, Gallant Sun, Moods, probably the best horse in the Moody Colvin stable at the moment. Hot Diggity Boom also looks at a nice field, Rich, as does the Roy Higgins.
Yeah, so if you win the Roy Higgins, you get a golden ticket straight into the Melbourne Cup.
And you Berkshire think Breeze, sell, have another you crack should be able it. To sell golden tickets? You still think that? arguably the most ridiculous opinion I've ever had on this show, and there's been a few.
Okay, so that's on. So it's the last Saturday of the Festival of Racing. So the Autumn Carnival will come to a close down in Melbourne, and it'll be a brilliant race, a brilliant day at headquarters. What do we got up in Sydney? We've sort of already talked about it, haven't we?
Yeah, we got the Tankred and then the Winery that we've alluded to.
And we'll just throw the Winery out there.
As mentioned, $1.50 to Clichy Boulevard, $9 along with Moving Out. I mean, this should be a benefit for Treasure the Moment. And she's one of those horses that I just get very excited every time she goes to races, a bit like a V-Sustain. Obviously not at that level. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I do enjoy watching her because I just want to see how far she can go. She is she has a lot of potential.
I reckon she'll start shorter than $1.50 if
she'll start at $1.20.
Yeah.
Yeah, she will start at a very, very short close. It's going to be another cracking weekend of racing, Rich. And once again, well done to the Den crew on nailing the multi and nailing the pot and putting a dent in the Ladbrokes book. We always like to see the punters get on top. So congratulations to you boys. And yeah, if your punters are packed, you'd be pretty happy at the moment.
Up the Den. See you on the weekend.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.